Tonight's message really goes along with this morning's message. This morning I preached on how shall I give thee up and how God hasn't given up yet. And tonight I'm preaching about don't give up. That's for you and I, not to give up. There's many, many reasons why we shouldn't give up, but I'm going to give you reasons tonight why people do give up. And some certainly are right on that edge. And so I want you to listen. Let God speak to your heart tonight on don't give up. John chapter 6, verse 66, the Bible says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I don't know of a sadder question. It's sad in Genesis when Adam and Eve have sinned and God is looking for Adam and wanting to walk with Adam and Eve, but they've sinned and now they're hiding from God, and that is a sad thing. But boy, verse 67 is, as I think about Jesus looking his disciples in the eyes, and many have already left. Many have gone on. They just wanted nothing to do with the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And then he looks in the eyes of his disciples, and he looks in the eyes of those who were left, and he says, will ye also go away? In verse 8, it says there's no discharge. If you do give up, you're going AWOL. God's not going to give you an honorable discharge till he takes you on to heaven. And we just need to keep going. We need to keep reading our Bible. We need to keep praying. We need to stay faithful to church. We need to keep tithing. We need to keep doing right. You need to keep doing right. You say, but it's hard to do right. Well, I understand there are battles and Satan is going to fight you. But I've got news for you. God will not approve your resignation. You just need to keep going. You say, well, you know, I read through my Bible last year, but now I'm really struggling. Just keep going. Don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. Well, you know, but I had a time of prayer and I've been praying, but boy, it's just getting tough on me and that schedule's hard to keep. You know what? Don't give up. Don't give up. Preacher, I've been soul winning. I've been telling folks about Jesus. Well, don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. Yeah, I told God I was going to give out some gospel tracts. Just keep giving them out. Just stay faithful. Keep doing right. God will not approve your resignation. I want to show you several reasons why people do give up. Several reasons why folks just don't. You know, I mean, honestly, if people hadn't given up, the pews would be full tonight. In fact, there would not be room. Over the years, all the people that are still right here in Adrian, Michigan, all the people that, they used to run the buses. They used to go soul winning. They used to teach the classes, many of them. And they sat in these pews. And honestly, there would be no room in these pews. There would be no room here in the chairs. In fact, the auditorium could not hold all of them had everybody just kept going. Had everybody just hung in there. And for whatever reason, perhaps one of these reasons tonight is why they gave up. Perhaps one of these reasons is why you're thinking about giving up too. Whatever you do, don't give up. Don't give up. The first reason for giving up, I believe, is found right here in our text, and it is disbelief. Disbelief. If you look back at verse 64, Jesus said, well, let's go ahead and start at verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. They couldn't handle Jesus' teaching. They couldn't handle the teaching about salvation. They couldn't handle the teaching that they had to be saved. They had to believe in him. They had to trust in him. And there were some, he said, and he looked right at him. He said, some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And the truth of the matter is, there are disciple after disciple after disciple. They say, Jesus, we want to follow you. Maybe because they want some kind of miracle. Maybe because they want to get some money. Maybe because they want to hope that it's all right. But they simply really are not even saved. They're just not even saved. And so many of these right here, they were with him. But Jesus knew. By the way, Jesus knows if you're not saved. Jesus already knows whether we are or whether we aren't. But these were those who just did not believe. They believed not. They were religious, but they were lost. And they followed him for a while, but it became too hard to handle because they didn't really believe in him. They didn't trust him as their Savior. And I'll submit to you, a person who's lost would have a very difficult time here at Berean Baptist Church, and unless they're just trying to cause trouble. You know, a person who's lost would have a hard time with the songs and with the preaching and with all that goes on. They would have a difficult time. I really believe the Holy Spirit of God would be dealing with them so much, they'd either get saved or they would be like these disciples and just go on their own way. And he says in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back. And so the first reason, disbelief. Hey, are you saved? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Because I got news for you. You will not stay in Berean Baptist Church and involved in the church as a lost person long. You cannot do it. It is just too hard to do. As they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? They couldn't understand it because they were not spiritually able to understand what all was going on. And lost people cannot understand. They are not able to follow and understand the things of God. You will give up before long, as these disciples did, and you'll go on. But the best thing in the world is that you would trust Christ and be saved. The second reason people give up is because they're discouraged. Look at Jeremiah 20 and verse 7. And again, a familiar passage of Scripture, and one that especially preachers talk about often. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 7. The Bible says, O Lord, Thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. And then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. And Jeremiah said, you know, he said, I'm discouraged. I'm exhausted. All these things were taking hold of Jeremiah. And he said, you know, I've preached for people. I've wept over people. I've begged God to do something. I begged the people to get right. Jeremiah, with tears, I believe, he said, God, you know, you've let me down, God, and nothing is happening. And that's it. I'm just not going to preach anymore, God. He said, I'm done. He said, I give up. And you know, the way he says it here, he said, I said, I'll not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But then he said this. He said, his word was in mine heart as a burning fire. He just couldn't do it. You know, he was at the edge. He was very, very close. You know, have you gotten so discouraged that you say, you know what? I give up. I give up. Jeremiah was right there. Jeremiah was right there. You know, as a preacher, I can tell you, there are times you get to that point, you scream, you holler, you preach, you cry, you weep, you open your heart up only to have somebody pluck it out and stomp on it, and you get to the point. It's hard to imagine a preacher ever being discouraged, but he was. He was. And you know, I watch people get discouraged, and I see people say things that they don't really mean. I see people do things they don't really do. I just say to you, if you're discouraged tonight, don't give up. Don't give up. The cure is always the Word of God. It's always the Word of God. That's exactly what happened with Jeremiah. He said, you know, that's it. I'm not going to talk about God anymore. I'm not going to make mention. But he couldn't quit. He couldn't. Almost always, if you will just get in the Word of God, you will make it, and you won't give up. So many people, and you know, that's why the devil doesn't want us in our Bibles. That's why he'll, you know, as we get discouraged, the place you need to go is on your knees and in the Word of God. Just immediate. It ought to be automatic. Well, I'm mad at God. I don't like what's going on. Okay, get on your knees, get in your Bible, and just read. And God is going to get you out of that thing. God is going to, He's going to rescue you from that mess. He's going to get you out of that discouragement. Whatever you do, don't give up. Because again, if you give up, you give up your Bible, and pretty soon you're in a real mess. The best way to keep going when you get discouraged is... am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He felt like he was deserted. You ever feel like you're the only one? Maybe you and your spouse, you know, you're just the only ones. Everybody else has gone off the deep end. We're the only ones left. Now, it was true with Elijah. It's true with you. You're not alone. You know, one of the great things about going to pastor school, our teens going to camps and conferences and all these things, is get to see others that are still doing right. Others that love God. Others that want to walk with God. Others that believe in bus ministries and soul winning and separation and others that are in Christian schools. You're not alone. You're not alone. I think one of the blessings of Berean Baptist Church for our bus kids, and many of them are here tonight. They don't have to come tonight. No, most of them, their parents wouldn't make them come to church, but they get to come and they find out, you know, it's not all, everybody doesn't all hate God. Some people love God. Some people want to serve God. And Elijah just felt like he was deserted. He felt like nobody cared. He felt like, nobody else was there to encourage him. I don't think he was afraid to die. He said, "Let me die." But you know, here comes Jezebel. She hates him, and all her people hate him. And where's all of God's people? You ever kind of feel like that? I know there's a lot of people. You know, I counsel folks, and they just, you know, I feel like I'm all alone. I'm all alone in my family. Nobody else goes to church. I'm all alone in where I work. Nobody else loves the Lord. I'm all alone in my school. Many of our public school kids, they feel like that. You know, they're all alone. But you're not alone. You're not alone. And someone does care. You know, you're not deserted. God said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with you always." You are never alone. And certainly, you know, I talked about this morning, and as far as widows and widowers and how difficult that is. And it's easy, it would be so easy to feel deserted and feel like you're all alone. I remember when our good friend, when Brother Ken died, and his wife Kathy was left behind, and all of a sudden she wasn't going to come to the activities. And we'd say, "Kathy, we're having an activity." And she'd say, "Well, I'm not going to go." And I said, "Yes, you are." She said, "No, I just don't feel right. You know, Ken's gone." I said, "Yeah, Ken's gone, but you're here. And if Ken was here, you would be at this activity, and you just need to come to the activity." And she would always tell me, say, "No, I just don't want to go, and I'm not going to go." And I say, "Kathy, you are going to go." And so she went, and she always said, "Thank you. Thank you," because it'd be so easy just to stay home and be all alone and feel sorry for myself. And you know, Satan wants you to feel like you're all alone. He wants you to feel deserted. He wants you to feel like there is no one else. There is. Amen. There are. There are many, many people. And many people that love you, and many people care. And you know, people will let you down, and people will quit. They will give up. But you need to keep going, and you'll be glad you kept going. You'll always be glad that you kept going, even though you maybe feel like you've been deserted. In verse 18, it goes on and says, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." You know, I can imagine Elijah saying, 7,000? Boy, I'd like to preach to that crowd. Yeah, I'd like them to say amen every now and then. He's just feeling like that. But look what happened then in verse 19. I love this. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And you know what? Elisha didn't leave him alone since then. Elisha chased him around like a puppy. Amen. And, you know, I mean, he did. He hung around the whole time until God took him away. And you know, again, you're never alone. You're never alone. And God will sometimes, you know, sometimes we do need to get alone to pray and spend time with God. But we always know that we have a church. That's why the Bible says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Because we need each other. You need everybody here. We need each other. We need to encourage. We need to exhort. We need to lift up. We need to help one another. And Elijah needed an Elisha. And he needed to know there were 7,000. He needed to know there were others. Amen. And, you know, thank God for that. Don't quit. Don't give up tonight because you feel deserted. Because you haven't been deserted. Just trust the Lord. I don't know how many times I've walked out of a service, gone into my office, and just sat there, and not necessarily just here, but in other churches, and felt like just nobody cares. Nobody's listening. That's why some of our seniors, you know, they're struggling. Oh, you know, what about, I know God wants me in Bible college, but I just can't afford it. Wait a minute. That's a contradiction of terms. You can't say those two terms together. You can't say God wants me anywhere and then say I can't afford it. It's that you can't say that. Because if God wants you there, you don't have to afford it. He pays His bills. I don't care what it is. Don't care what the service is. Now, if you've put yourself in a bad situation and you got to get yourself out of that a little bit, why don't you trust Him to help you get out of that thing? I'm just saying this. Never doubt God. We doubt God when Satan attacks. We doubt God with man's persecution. John Mark knew what he should do, but he didn't do it because he doubted God. But thank God he did go back and he did overcome that and he did end up serving the Lord. You know, doubts come to everybody. They always do. And you know, if there's no doubt, there is no faith. Now, I know that sounds kind of strange, but you know, if there's nothing to doubt, you wouldn't have to trust God. If everything's just cut and dried in front of you, if everything's just obvious in front of you, you never would have to trust God. But since there are things in front of us that look kind of scary, and there are things in front of us that look very questionable, and there are things in front of us that we don't understand, and there's some pathways that are kind of dark and cloudy and some forks in the road that we're just not real sure about, that's when, thank God, we can trust Him. And we need to trust Him. And when doubt comes, you've got to overcome it with faith so that you don't give up. I don't know how many folks I've watched give up because of doubt. You know, I just don't think I can get out of this thing. I just don't think I can do that. And then they give up. They give up. You know, you say, well, I would teach that Sunday school class, but I'm just not good at public speaking. I didn't know you had to be good at public speaking to teach a Sunday school class. I thought you had to be called of God and just let God use you. Amen. If I had some lessons, I would sing that special in church. No, why don't you trust the Lord? Trust somebody that plays a piano to help you get the notes and just get up and beg God to help you and just do it. Hello. You know, but so many never do anything because I just don't think God can do it. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. You know, I still clearly remember going to Bible college and not having a clue of the Bible. I thought, well, you go to Bible college to learn the Bible. That is true, but I found out a whole bunch of the folks that were there already knew the Bible. And I was the rookie. I didn't know any of it. I believe we had New Testament survey first, and we had to memorize the books of the New Testament. And most of the class said, oh, that's easy, I already know them. I didn't have a clue.
All the words, and I can use the proper diction at all times.
I don't know if I want you. I'd rather have that guy that's absolutely, positively terrified. who the night before is going to cry his eyes out, God, please use me, please use me, please use me. Don't let me cuss, don't let me cuss, don't let me cuss. I remember as a pastor, still, I mean, as a new pastor, I still was asking God, God, you know I'm going to talk to a lot of people today. Don't let me cuss. Please don't let me cuss, God. You know, but see, what did that do? That helped me to really believe in him, to really know that he was going to do it, to really know it wasn't about me anyway. It never has been. It's always been about him and whatever he wants to be said. Yes, there are many, many things that cause us to doubt, but, you know, God wants us to believe him and trust him. By the way, he wants you to do that at night when you're afraid. He wants you to trust him. He really does. You know, when you're absolutely terrified just because it's night, God wants you to trust him. And he wants you to just be able to know, you know, it's okay. It's okay. Because a lot of night times come. They come not just when it is night physically, but when night comes in our life with trials and troubles and sorrows. God wants you to trust him. He wants us to trust him. Hey, whatever you do, don't give up because you doubt. Don't get down on yourself because I doubt. I just showed you several men of God who have had their doubts. Don't give up because of doubt. Another thing that causes us to give up is defeat. John chapter 21, verse 3, we could use many examples of this. John chapter 21 and verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. Wait a minute, Peter, you can't go a-fishing. You gave that up. You followed Jesus to be a fisher of men. What are you doing? I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. Oh, Peter, you don't know what you're doing, man. I mean, not only are you going back and giving up, but you're taking a whole bunch of folks with you. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Yeah, that's what happens when you give up and you try to go back. Can you imagine Peter and the gang? Can you imagine them talking about that? We used to always catch fish. We just went to our favorite spot. I mean, this is the best spot in the world. What's the deal? We caught nothing. All night we caught nothing. They might have had some rock music playing. They might have had a couple of beers. I'm not sure. You know, they just went back. They gave up. Why? Oh, well, I don't know. How about Jesus died on the cross? I don't know what was going on. How about Peter? Could it be because he denied Christ? It's kind of what I think. I think because he denied Christ, he figured, you know what, there's no use. I'll tell you this. Just you start over here with Brother Kelvin, go all the way, all across the pews, all through the church, go all the way to the back, go all the way to the back here, go all the way up and down the pews, all the way to the front, come right here to the pastor. And there's not one of us that hasn't failed. Not one. I don't care who it is. Unless Jesus happened to drop in and he's sitting in one of the pews. Okay, every one of us has failed. Every one of us has been defeated. We all have. Every one of us. It could have been a soul-winning defeat. It could have been... You taught a Sunday school class and you haven't got a clue what you said, and neither does any of the class. I've had something like that. Could have been a defeat as far as a test, temptation. It could have been some sort of a spiritual defeat where you know that God was watching over and Satan tempted you and you gave in and Peter knew here that Jesus rose from the grave, but boy, Peter also knew that he failed him. He said, I go a-fishing. I ain't no good at this preaching. I'll just go a-fishing. Well, you know, and he took everybody with him. Defeat causes us to give up. Satan's a liar. And you need to get wise to him. And I'm telling you tonight, You will not go through life as a Christian without some defeats. You're not going to do it. I don't care who you are. You're not going to do it. So just get up and go on and serve the Lord. Peter said, I go a-fishing. They came with him, and they caught nothing. But I love this. It says, and then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he cast unto them, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. It makes a big difference when Jesus is in your life. You can try to do anything you want on your own, and if you give up, you're going on your own. But I got news, it makes a big difference to have Jesus in your life. And therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, and that of course is John, it is the Lord. And now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him. Oh, that's another thing that happens when you get away from God. He was naked and did cast himself into the sea. It's amazing how you don't really pay attention to how you live and your lifestyle and everything when you get away from the Lord. And you know, all of it was because he was defeated. It's amazing how far people go because they failed. It's amazing. Oh, I messed up. There's no use. That's exactly what the devil wants you to think. So many people go so far away from God, and you go to them and you say, hey man, what are you doing? Why are you living this way? And they say, oh, I failed. So you're going to make it better by just continually failing? What you do is you get up and you get victory. If you were to think about all the victories you've had, surely one defeat wouldn't cause you to quit. Surely one defeat wouldn't cause you to get up or to give up. You need to get back to work. Jesus said, do you love me, Peter? Hey, I ask you tonight, do you love him? Don't let the fact that you failed him keep you from going on. Just get up and go on. And you know, everybody has defeats. We've got to keep going. Number six is our desires. Boy, our desires get us in more trouble and cause us to give up than maybe anything. 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, our desire, what we like. I'm reminded in Sunday school class of abstain from fleshly lusts. Abstain from fleshly lusts. Boy, I'll tell you, our desires get us in so much trouble. And old Demas, he was a guy that was serving God and loved the Lord, but he gave up. 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. I don't know what it was. Might have been alcohol. Might have been girls. It might have been, who knows? I don't know what his problem was. He just loved the present world. Maybe it was money. I don't know, but something in his desire, something that had pulled and pulled and pulled on him, same kind of stuff pulls and pulls and pulls on us. And so many people give up because of some worldly desire that we have. It isn't worth it. It isn't worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to, you know, how many preachers have resigned the pastorate because they wanted to make more money because of a worldly desire that they had. How many missionaries have come off the mission field because it's just hard? And the world has so much to offer us, and we could be doing this, and so many have given up because of some worldly desire. Remember, the pleasure of sin has a season. We all know it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be attracted to it. We're not attracted to the season. Somehow, we are deceived into thinking that it goes on and on and on and on and on. But it's pleasure of sin is just a season. You know, when a person gets drunk, it's just for a season. It's only fun for a season. Then you got to pay for it. Somebody, drugs, you know, it's just a season. Wow, man, I'm high. And you start seeing all these things and having this good time, you think, and everything. But it's just a season because then it wears off and then things aren't so good. You know, immorality, it's just a season. Everything, it has its season. I'm not going to deny that. It has its season. But that little season's not worth giving up on. That little season's not worth quitting Sunday school class or your bus route or soul winning or coming to church or reading your Bible or praying. That little season of the world and the world's desire and all of that, that thing is not worth giving up for. Because when it's over, it's over. And by far, we're better off to do the things that God wants us to do and have God's hand of blessing on our lives, which is for more than a season, and laying up treasures in eternity that are certainly more than a season. Desired. You have some desire that's causing you to maybe think about giving up, quitting church, giving up, maybe finding some place where it's a lot easier. Quitting the things that you know are right, the things that you believe in. Demas did. And the Bible says he loved the present world. He was catering to his desires, his lusts. And then the last thing that I find, and certainly we could go on and on and on and on, but that is deception. Deceptions cause many people to give up. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. Look at it if you will. 1 Corinthians 3:18. The Bible says, let no man deceive himself. You know, how many times do we deceive ourselves? If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. How many times do we deceive ourselves? And we deceive ourselves right into quitting. Here's the thing. We like sin. We like our sin. Okay, if you are sinning tonight, and again, I'm not talking about someone who's fighting with a sin, and as Paul was in Romans chapter 7, I'm talking about someone who's regarding iniquity in your heart. In other words, you guard it. You're protecting your sin. You're justifying your sin. You know, in the justifying of our sin, we're deceiving ourselves. We deceive ourselves, number one, that it's not a sin. We'll talk ourselves out of that. We'll convince ourselves, this isn't so bad. No, wait, so bad is not what we're talking about. We're talking about, is it sin or not? Well, it was just a little lie. No, I'm not talking about, is it a lie? Is a lie, God, Jesus said to the Pharisees that Satan's a father of lies. So when you lie, aren't you listening to the father of lies? I mean, is there such a thing as a little lie? We deceive ourselves. Well, it's not that bad. Oh, our favorite deceit of ourselves is to say, well, it's not as bad as what he's doing. At least I'm not doing that. They ought to be glad. We deceive ourselves because the truth is we like sin. And whatever sin we are committing, we like it. Or we wouldn't be doing it, right? But then we talk ourselves into it and deceive ourselves. And there's a lot of, I'm going to tell you, a lot of the pews are empty tonight because of folks like that. And all of a sudden, the guy that's preaching, be it a pastor, a youth director, Sunday school teacher, bus captain, whoever, all of a sudden, instead of him being somebody that loves them and they know they love them, all of a sudden, that's the enemy. We've deceived ourselves into thinking that. Because we're holding on to our sin. I know. I remember sitting in the pew and the preacher, Brother Gene Goff, standing there preaching and that vein here and that vein right there popping out of his head, screaming and hollering. I'd sit there and think, he says he loves us. Why is he preaching about me? You know, it didn't bother him that I was a long-haired hippie. He preached against long-haired hippies anyway. While I sat there, it didn't bother him that my wife was wearing mini skirts. He preached against them anyway. And she tugged on hers. She tugged and I tucked. Amen. I mean, seriously, that was church. And I'd look over and I'd say, I can't believe he preached on. He knows we're sitting here. Well, sure he did. We sat right in the middle. You know he knew we were there. Boy, I'm so glad that God revealed the deceit that I tried to deceive myself with. I mean, I could have easily said, well, I'll just go somewhere else. They'd like a couple like us. I've had people over the years, so many, Doug and Brenda Rogers has come and say, hey, man, we want to be groovy with your teenagers and teach them how to get down. We want them to have a real love for Jesus. And all these kids, seriously, I'm thinking of a couple right now. And I said, well, let's get you in church and let you learn some Bible and teach. Oh, no, we're youth directors. We can relate to the teenagers. I said, I'd like to see you get, and sure enough, they lasted, a couple weeks under hard preaching, and pretty soon they were out the door. And they found some place to go. But they've deceived themselves. They didn't have a walk with God themselves. Didn't know doctrine, didn't know the Bible. They just deceived them. They just wanted to, they didn't want to grow. We like our sin, and we can deceive ourselves, and that causes so many people to go on. So many people to quit because we deceive ourselves. I know, last week I preached, hit a topic pretty hard about those books and had some real good response about that. But some of you are deceiving yourself. You really are. You don't look at me the same. And maybe you don't look at your parents the same either. But those are the people that really love you. Those authors, all they want is your money. They do not care about you. And I'm seriously, what you need to do is dismiss what you like. I've gotten rid of a lot of things that I like. Amen. Because it wasn't right for me. And I could have easily talked myself into it, because there's always somebody worse than you. But when you get to the point where all of a sudden the people that really love you are the enemy, you need to be careful. You've deceived yourself. You have deceived yourself. Deception causes many, many to quit. Many to give up. Look, if you will, at Ephesians 4, verse 14, another form of deception. I'm just about done. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. It says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Notice how they're carried about with every wind of doctrine. And there certainly is a deception in the area of doctrine. You need to get grounded in the Word of God. We as Christians need to be grounded in the Word of God. You say, I really don't feel very grounded. You need to go to Reformers Unanimous. You say, well, I don't have an addiction. I promise you this, it'll help you get grounded in the Word of God. It'll take you through a course. And if you follow that course, I've had people say, well, that doesn't do any good. Really, when's the last time you went through the course? Honestly, I remember some, Brother Nixon, we talk about, different people coming and they go and, I don't like the program or whatever. Okay, go through the course. I'm not talking about if you have an addiction. I'm not talking about if you're a drunk, if you're an alcoholic, if you're a drug addict, if you're a pornographer or whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm just saying if you just want to grow in the Lord, go through the course. Somebody asked recently, do you have a discipleship program? Yeah, Friday nights, go to it. Just go through the course. I've gone through much of the course and gone through all of it. I'm telling you, it'll help you get grounded in the Word of God. It'll help you get grounded in the Scriptures so you're not blown around with every doctrine. Because there's a lot of weird stuff out there. There's a lot of weird ideas out there. And we need to be careful. That's why there's so many cults out there. Do you understand that so many of the people that followed Jim Jones years ago and ended up killing themselves down in South America, those people, many of them came from churches just like this. And they were people not grounded in the Word of God. You say, I love the bus ministry. Okay, get grounded in the Word of God so that you're in the bus ministry 30 years from now and you stick with it like the Baileys have. Well, I just want to teach you Sundays. Okay, well, get grounded in the Word of God so that for 25, 30, 40 years you can teach that Sunday school class. Well, I just want to sing in the choir. We'll get grounded in the Word of God so that 40 years from now, you're still singing in the choir. Maybe toothless, but... Amen.
Amazing grace.
That's a wonderful thing. But see, there's a lot of deception out there. And these pews are not full tonight because people have been deceived over the years. And you know, so many are deceived, and they're deceived because of false doctrine, and they take off, and then they end up nowhere. And tonight, they're in front of a television set instead of in church because they just never got grounded in the things of God. And grounded, as Brother Dan Pfeiffer prayed tonight as he started praying, and I thought, God, help us all just to get to know you better. That's so good. I looked at it, looked as soon as Dan started to pray, bless his heart, I looked at our list and I thought, all those names, right, if they would just get to know God better, it would help in all those situations right there. And it would help you. It would help you not to be deceived in the times that we live in. There's so much false doctrine out there. And Jesus said it was going to be like that in the end times. Said there will be people stand up and say they're Christ. People will believe them. People stand up and say, well, I'm right, and I'm doing this, and people will believe them. Get grounded in the truth. And then the last thing, Ephesians 5 and verse 6. The Bible says, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Vain words has caused many people to give up, quit, get out, because they got deceived with somebody's vain. What's vain? Empty words. Gossip is like that. Oh, how many people, again, the pews, the empty spaces. Gossip. Deceive somebody. And they left. Pastors, I know of pastors that are out of the ministry today because of vain words, empty words. Don't be deceived with that stuff. Folks, we would all be so much better off if we just didn't listen to that. Somebody starts in telling you some sort of, well, you probably haven't heard this yet. Just say, you know why? Because I don't want to. That's a good way to respond. Really, you don't even have to be mean. You don't have to say, shutteth uppeth. You know, just I don't want to hear it. I don't need to hear it. It's not good for me. It will not help me. Vain words have caused so many people to give up. Because what happens is, you destroy somebody to them who they looked up to. And you know what they do? They give up. It happens to our teenagers all the time. When you talk bad about the youth director, when people talk bad about the pastor, a Sunday school teacher. True or not? Why would you do it? It's just empty words, vain words. Unless there is something that is going on. You know, I'll be honest with you. If Brother Caleb goes out here and robs a bank, come and tell me about it. And after he ties, we're going to turn him in. I mean, seriously, you know, I've often wondered what the purpose is of talking about somebody without going to that somebody. Because if Brother Caleb does something wrong and I go and tell Tim about it, what good is that doing? None. You're right. Doesn't do any good at all. If Brother Darrell does something wrong and I go talk to Brother Hawkins about it, what good does that do? You know, and then Brother Hawkins, he decides to tell Brother Waters. What good have we done? We haven't done anything good. Those are all just vain words. They're empty words. They're not going to accomplish anything. But if Brother Darrell does something wrong and I go and I say, Brother Darrell, you did something wrong, and Phyllis is there and she says, Darrell, straighten up. Then Darrell... we did something good. And Brother Hawkins didn't get his ears polluted. Brother Waters didn't get his ears polluted. And Phyllis has everything under control and Daryl's doing right. And it all worked out. Vain words. Gossip is a vain word. Unaccountable counsel. That's vain words too. What do you mean, preacher? Well, I mean when somebody counsels and they're not accountable for their counsel. Because it's not any of their business. that has caused many people to quit. You know, somebody just off the cuff offers counsel and somebody listens to it. But there's no account that person has to give. You see, you know, one thing you have safe about going to the pastor for counsel, I'm accountable to God. I mean, I don't just give any off-the-cuff kind of counsel. I don't just flippantly say, well, here's what I think you ought to do. Give me all your money. That is the best counsel, I think, really, for everybody. But I give an account for that. If Brother Keith comes to me and he says, Pastor, you know, I've got this problem. It's really bad and I don't know what to do. And I say, Brother Keith, just give me all your money. That'll take care of everything. And then he does that. You know, I'm accountable to God for that. But if Glenn Harnden, however, jumps in and says, Keith, I understand you have some problems. And I want you to know, I'm pretty smart. And you need to give me all your money. And Brother Keith says, okay, I'll do that. He's not accountable to anybody. He just stole from you and you let him have it. And then you're mad and upset and then you leave. Deception. You know, Satan uses all kinds of things. I've watched people leave the church over all these things. I've seen it over the years. I've watched people leave. And you know, when they do, over these reasons here, when they do, they don't end up doing anything. Have you thought about these that Jesus said, you know, that they departed from Jesus? Obviously, they weren't believers, but they didn't ever do anything for God. Folks, we have got to realize that Satan is going to send a lot of things to cause us to give up. And we're tempted to give up. Everybody here is. But if it's disbelief, in this case, get saved. If it's discouragement, understand God has it under control. If you feel like you've been deserted, you haven't. You know the Holy Spirit is with you, and there are many, many godly people around you that will encourage you. If it's doubt, then you need to read the Bible. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If it happens to be defeat, everybody's been defeated. Everybody's failed. Everybody's messed up. You need to get up and you need to go on. If it's desire and the fleshly lust, abstain from fleshly lust. Just push it aside and go on and understand that, okay, that's going to give me some pleasure, but it's not going to last. It's just going to be for a little while. And if it's deception, get grounded in the truth. Know the truth so well that you'll always be able to spot deception. Let's all bow our heads, please.